Thank you, Andrew, for leading us in that song, I'm in the Glory Land Way. It's our prayer that if you're not in that way, that you'll change that before you leave this afternoon, that you'll be in the Glory Land Way, that bright and shining way. Thankful for the good prayer by Charles, and as he prayed, we ought to be grateful that God has allowed us to have another opportunity this day that we might come together to sing, to pray, and to study. Appreciate the fact that you're here. We have visitors with us, and we thank you for coming. This morning in our study, we talked about I am praying for you, and tonight I come with a request. Pray for me. That's the theme of our study this afternoon. Pray for me. The same Paul who often would tell brethren, I am praying for you, asked for brethren to pray for him. There are some things that you may not be able to do for me, but there is something that you can do. You can pray. I've been very fortunate and blessed to be with brethren who have been very generous and kind and done a lot of things for me. And I hope that you will be thankful to God for the fact that there are churches and individuals who are sacrificing to support me in such a way that I can provide for my family and live of the gospel. Without other churches and individuals, we'd not be able to be here in Terre Haute doing what we're doing. And I'm thankful for the fact that there are those who sacrifice much so that we can do the work of evangelist. And I hope that you would pray for brethren that they will be able to continue doing what they are. There are individuals who sacrifice much to send to us. There are couples, for example, who have sent $50 a month. An individual that would send $1,000 a month. There are those that have provided gift cards and have taken us out for meals and provided meals. And I recall being in a meeting in a particular place where there was a member of the church who took me to a men's shop downtown. He wanted to introduce me to a friend of his, he said. And when I walked into the store, he said, this preacher needs a suit. And so he had me pick out a suit, and I picked out a suit, and he said, you can't have a new suit without a shirt. And so he insisted that I pick out a shirt, and so I had a shirt to go with it. And he said, you can't have a new suit and a new shirt without a tie. And so I left with that, and he also gave me a case of popcorn and a country ham. And I said, when do you brethren need another meeting? But I've heard of situations where there were brethren who were in the car business and furnished a preacher a car. And some involved in real estate who furnished a house. And you might think, I'd like to be able to do that. And you may not be able to do some of those things, but you can do something of great value, and that is you can pray. You can pray for me. Because prayer is effective. You know, in the book of James, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, James said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He talked about Elijah who prayed that it might not rain. The Bible says he prayed earnestly, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What do I learn from that? Well, one thing I learned is that prayer is powerful, that prayer works, that prayer is effective. And I want righteous people praying for me. I have asked on a number of occasions for those who I believe have the character of Zacharias and Elizabeth, who are righteous before God, walking in the commandments of God blameless, to pray for me. Just recently, I was in a gospel meeting where I had the privilege of working with an eldership, some of the finest men I've ever had a privilege to work with that served in that capacity. And I just asked them to meet with me in a room, and I said, there's something I need you to do for me. I said, I want you to pray for me. And they did. I had some things that I wanted them to pray for me. And I said, whatever else you think I need, just feel free to put that in there as well. Because I believe that there is value in the prayers of the righteous. I realize that prayer helps. You might think, what can I do to help? You can pray. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. How could these brethren help Paul? He said, helping together by prayer for us. And so prayer helps. Also in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, Peter penned, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And so I want righteous people praying for me, don't you? When you think about the fact that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers, I'll take as many of their prayers as I possibly can receive. And I believe in the words of Paul to the Ephesians in chapter 3 and in verse 20. When he said, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's not that God is able to do what we ask or think. Sometimes we think too small. And it's not that God is able to do above all that we ask or think, but notice he says he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so think about the great power that we can tap into when we tap into the power of prayer. Oftentimes, Paul would write his brethren and he would say, pray for me. For example, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, he said, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And then, writing the Colossians, he made a similar appeal in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3 when he declared, with all also praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. What's Paul saying? Pray for me. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25, look at these four words. Brethren, pray for us. Thankful for the good reading from 2 Thessalonians 3, where Paul said, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And so in the same vein in which Paul would write to his brethren and say, pray for me, I come before you this afternoon asking you to pray for me. And here are some things for which you may pray, just from a quick scan of the books of 1st, 2nd Timothy, which were written to a young gospel preacher. You could pray that I'll charge some that they teach no other doctrine, from chapter 1, verse 3. That I'll have charity, a pure heart, and faith unfeigned out of a good conscience, from chapter 1 and verse 5. You can pray for me that I'll war good warfare, from chapter 1 and verse 18. That I'll hold faith in a good conscience, verse 19. That I will be given to prayer, that I will continue in prayer, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. As well, you can pray that I will behave myself as I ought to in the house of God, from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. You can pray that I will put the brethren in remembrance, from chapter 4 and verse 6. That I will be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, also from 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6. That I will refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise myself unto godliness, verse 7. That I will labor and suffer reproach, verse 10. That I will not let any man despise my youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity, from verse 12. Or in other words, that I'll be an example of the believers, that I'll set the proper example. The folks will be able to look to me and say, there's what it means to be a Christian. You can pray for me that I'll give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, verse 13. That I'll not neglect the gift that is in me, verse 14. That I'll meditate, Verse 15, and give myself wholly, that my profiting may appear to all. Verse 15. You can pray for me that I'll take heed unto myself and unto the doctrine, that I will continue in them, from verse 16, that I will treat brethren as they deserve to be treated, that I will rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity, and that I'll honor widows that are widows indeed. 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 3. You can pray for me that I'll not receive an accusation against an elder, but before two or three witnesses, and that I'll have the courage to rebuke before all them that sin. Chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. That I'll do nothing by partiality. Verse 21. That I'll not be partaker of other men's sins, and that I'll keep myself pure. Verse 22. You can also pray for me that I will withdraw myself from perverse disputings of men, chapter 6 and verse 5. That I'll flee the love of money, chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. That I'll follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. That I'll fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, chapter 6 and verse 12. That I'll keep God's commandments without spot, unrebukable, under the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14. That I'll charge them that are rich in this world, verse 17. That I'll keep that which is committed to my trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, chapter 6 and verse 20. And from 2 Timothy, you can pray for me that I'll not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of those who suffer for his testimony. Chapter 1 and verse 8. Pray for me that I'll hold fast the form or the pattern of sound words. Chapter 1 and verse 13. Pray for me from chapter 2 and verse 1 that I'll be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That I will commit the things that I have learned and heard to faithful men who shall be able to teach these things to others. Chapter 2 and verse 2. Pray for me that I will endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 3. And that I'll not allow myself to become entangled with the affairs of this life, that I may please him who hath chosen me to be a soldier. Chapter 2 and verse 4. Pray for me that I'll remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead. Chapter 2 and verse 8. That I will charge them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Chapter 2 and verse 14. Pray that I will study to show myself approved unto God, that I will be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, that I will rightly divide the word of truth. Pray for me that I will shun profane and vain babblings. Pray for me that I will flee also youthful lust, and that I will follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Pray for me that I will avoid foolish and unlearned questions, knowing that they do gender strifes. Chapter 2 and verse 23. Pray for me that I'll be gentle, that I'll not strive, that I'll be apt to teach, patient, and in meekness instruct those who oppose themselves. And then from chapter 3 and verse 14, pray that I will continue in the things that I have learned. In this chapter, he talks about the fact that perilous times will come. Some of the days that we live in are difficult. Some of the times are troublesome. And it can be discouraging. Pray for me that I will continue. Pray for me from chapter 4 and verse 2 that I will preach the word, that I'll not preach my opinions, that I'll not preach the philosophies of men, but that I will always preach the word, that I'll preach book, chapter, and verse, that I will speak as the oracles of God, and that I will do that in season, out of season, that I will have the courage and the conviction to preach the word in times when there are those who want to hear it and times when they don't want to hear it. That I'd be able to join with Peter on the day of Pentecost when they gladly received his word. But I'd also have the courage to stand for the Lord as Stephen did in Acts chapter 7 when they gnashed on him with their teeth. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And he was allowed to see the Lord standing on the right hand of God. And I'm impressed with the fact that when this man of God stood for the Lord stood for him. Pray that I'll be able to stand. Pray for me that I will reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That I'll not just be all positive or all negative, but that I'll have the proper balance in my preaching. Realizing that God's law has always consisted of thou shalt and thou shalt not. That I'll not be a hobbyist. There are some who get on a hobby. They have a hobby horse they ride, and they can't hardly enter the pulpit without talking about that particular hobby. There are some who are all positive all the time and never do any reproving or rebuking. And then there are some who are all negative. They don't ever have anything to say that is encouraging or by way of exhortation. Pray for me that I will reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Pray for me that I'll have long suffering, that I'll be patient, that I'll have perseverance, that I'll not be weary with well-doing. And pray that I'll always do that with doctrine. Pray for me that I'll watch in all things, that I'll be watchful, that I'll be like God charged Ezekiel to be back in Ezekiel chapter 3, 17 through 21, when he appointed him as a watchman to the house of Israel, that he was to hear the word and warn the people. And the Lord said, if you do that, that if the people do not hear, they don't take warning, that you've delivered your soul. But if you hear the word and you don't warn the people, then their blood, he said, will I require at thine hand. I believe Paul was one who was watchful in all things when he met with the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. He talked about the fact that for the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He said that after his departure, he knew that grievous wolves would enter in, not sparing the flock. And he said, watch and remember. And so here is a man who was watchful. Pray that I'll be watchful. One time I made a comment that in a particular work that I didn't want something to happen on my watch. And there were some who didn't know how to take that. They thought that maybe I was assuming too much authority, that I thought that I was an elder. Now all of us need to be watchful. And there is a watch that belongs to elders. But I use that word in the same way that Paul used that word here when he said, watch thou in all things. The preacher does have a watch, doesn't he? And I would not be true to my charge if I failed to recognize that I am to be a watchman, that I am to watch, that I'm to be aware of dangers that are lurking and sound the warning. We don't need dumb dogs that cannot bark, that when they see danger, they are silent. And then we don't need dogs that are barking all the time. But pray that I'll have the wisdom to watch down all things. Pray for me that I'll endure afflictions. Sometimes afflictions are a part of preaching the gospel. The Lord suffered. We've talked about His last week. Look at all that He experienced, the agony and the anguish. And for what? Coming to seek and to save that which was lost. Think about the trials and the tribulations that befell the apostles. Can you imagine? When they began to face opposition, when they were threatened and imprisoned and beaten, and there were those that were put to death. I've not begun to experience anything by way of affliction that the Lord and His apostles suffered. But we don't know what the future will hold. And pray that I will have the stamina to endure afflictions, that I will do the work of an evangelist, and that I will make full proof of thy ministry. As I read these books, and you could add Titus to that, there are a number of things that I would petition you to pray for me. But outside of those books, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 for just a moment. Paul said in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Pray for me that I'll not be exalted above measure. Notice Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Some brethren think they figured out what that is, but it's not been revealed. We know that it was an infirmity of some kind. And some have suggested that the Lord didn't answer his prayer. I recommend to you that the Lord did answer his prayer. When he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And the reason he had this thorn in the flesh was that he would not be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. I've known of gospel preachers who have been exalted above measure. And as the Bible talks about pride goeth before a fall, that there are many good men that have fallen because of pride. And I would ask you to pray for me that God will help me to abase myself, to humble myself, that he may exalt me in due time. That I'll not exalt myself. That I'll not be like the self-righteous Pharisee in Luke chapter 18 when he prayed and acted as if he hadn't done anything wrong, and he'd point the finger at this publican who was so humble he wouldn't lift up his eyes toward heaven and smote upon his breast saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Look at what happened to Nebuchadnezzar when he was exalted above measure. Look at what happened to Herod when he was exalted above measure. Nebuchadnezzar was made into a beast in which he ate grass. And you think about Herod who died, gave up the ghost being eaten of worms. Pray for me. From 1 Corinthians chapter 9, when Paul said in verse 25, "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Pray for me that I will keep under my body, that I will bring it into subjection, and that when I have preached to others, I myself will not be a castaway. I am a man, as Paul and Barnabas once said, of like passions as you are. And pray for me that I'll keep under my body, that I'll maintain self-control. And that includes three vital areas of my life: my thoughts, my words, and my actions. That I'll be disciplined. Pray for me that God will give me understanding, good judgment, and wisdom. It takes a lot of judgment. I ask that God will give me wisdom. I think about when God gave Solomon a blank check. "Ask what I will." He said, "Give me an understanding heart." He said, "I'm a child." What do you say? How do you say it? Sometimes it's a matter of how you say a thing that can prevent a fire. You know, the tongue is a fire. And you think about just a spark or a match and how that can set a million acres ablazing. And pray for me that I'll have the wisdom to use the words that need to be used in preaching the truth. Pray for me that God will open doors of opportunity for me to teach and preach his word to others. I'd like to think that you're praying that there will be those who will say, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." That you'll be praying that God will put me in contact with a traveling treasure from Ethiopia who has an honest and good heart, who is reading the scriptures and would ask, "How can I accept some man should guide me?" And when the opportunity is presented to be able to preach unto him Jesus, he'll say, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" That God will put me into contact with a Cornelius who's invited his family and his friends to come hear all things commanded of God. With a Lydia who has a religious background, a worshiper of God, whose heart will be opened and she will give heed to the things that are spoken. Thank God for the opportunities that have been opened when He opens those doors for us. And pray that those doors will remain open, and that where the seed has been planted, that it'll be watered and God will see fit to give the increase. We've had lots of open doors this year already. And I'm thankful for that. I have the attitude of Isaiah, Lord, here am I, send me. And when I have an opportunity and an invitation to go, I feel the responsibility to go. And I'm thankful that I can do that and leave with confidence that the work here is in good hands. That we have faithful and able men who are able to teach and to preach. And that you have such a wonderful attitude. Go and do the good that you can, and we'll take care of things here. Pray for those doors of opportunity. Pray for me that I will speak the truth without fear or favor of men. Jesus was said to have taught the truth that way. There were those who said, we know that you teach the way of God in truth and carest not for the person of men. Pray that I'll do that. Pray that God will continue to provide for my needs and the needs of my family. Pray for them when I'm away, that they'll be kept safe. Pray for me that I'll have a peaceful hour in which to depart when this life is over. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. That goes back to our study this morning, doesn't it? When the Lord made that statement about Him being carried, signifying what manner of death He should die. We do not know when we will put off this our tabernacle. But pray for me that when that occasion comes, that I'll be able to say, as the Apostle Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, in chapter 4 and in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. And anything else you might like to put in there. And I appreciate your prayers for me, knowing that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That you're helping together by prayer. You may not be able to go. There may be things you can't do. But you can pray. And that means so much. And just as you find it an encouragement to you when brethren will tell you, I'm praying for you, that's a great encouragement to me. And I receive texts from time to time. Just want you to know I'm praying for you. I appreciate that. There may be one or more in this audience this afternoon who's not yet rendered obedience to the gospel. We'd invite you to come. We're going to sing a song that's designed to invite you to make your life right with God, to give you an opportunity to do that. Have you thought about this opportunity? It's unique, isn't it? It's an opportunity that we're afforded by the Lord Himself. He said, come unto me, Matthew 11 and verse 28. But you know, the Lord doesn't force us to come. We're not puppets on a string. We're not programmed. No, He made us with the ability to choose to obey or not to obey, to come or to stay away. He points out to us in a unique way, the blessings of obedience. He's done that all throughout the Bible. The blessings and the benefits that will be ours if we'll obey. And at the same time, He points out the consequences. The tragedy, the curses that will come if we choose not to obey. Remember the people had that choice in the book of Deuteronomy when Moses stood in the plains of Moab and he preached obedience. There were those who chose to obey, and then there were those who chose not to obey. The choice now comes to us. And as Elijah said at Mount Carmel in 1 Kings chapter 18, how long halt ye between two opinions? In other words, make up your mind. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And as Moses said in Exodus 32, when he came down from the mountain, the people were dancing before the golden calf. He said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come. Would you make the reply, I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I, by stepping foot out of the aisle and coming and taking a seat up front as we saw this morning, one with an honest and good heart, that you'll believe with all of your heart, that you'll turn your back on your sins, that if you've not obeyed the gospel, you'll be baptized upon the confession of your faith into Jesus Christ. You'll have undergone a change of heart by faith, changing your life in repentance and changing your relationship with the Lord as you're baptized into Christ. Maybe you've done that, but you've not been living like you know you need to live, as the Bible teaches all of us to live. You too need to make up your mind as to what you're going to do. You can't straddle the fence. You can't have one foot in the church and one foot out here in the world. It won't work that way. We have to surrender all. We have to give the Lord all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And if you're one with a divided heart today, we pray for you a spiritual heart transplant, that you'll repent, that you'll pray, that you'll be restored. As together we stand and sing, we cordially invite you to come.